Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, our guest today is Dr. Rosaria Butterfield. Many of you know her through her writings, and we have had her on this broadcast before. She is a wonderfully gifted sister in Christ, and we're very thankful for her candor and the biblical wisdom that she brings, interpreting experience by Scripture rather than trying to make Scripture fit with whatever current trends might be out there in people's experience. So, Rosaria, thank you so much for being on the broadcast with us today.
Oh, it's a joy to return. Thank you so much for inviting me back.
Now, your book, Openness Unhindered, is subtitled Further Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert Regarding Sexual Identity and Union with Christ. I think that is, again, a wonderful description of what you cover in this book. It is it's a marvelous treatment of issues that are complex and that don't just have to do with our sexuality. They have to do not just with current issues in society, but with really the essence of what it means to live the Christian life and to have Christ living in us and living his life through us.
Right, absolutely. And I would say, too, the essence of what it means to be human.
Yes. Amen. Because even when people try and live their lives without regard for their Creator and without regard for his law, you really can't run away from God. If I ascend to the mountains, behold, thou art there. If I go down to the depths of the sea, behold, thou art there. You can't get away from God, can we?
No. And you know, that's a great blessing. That eternity is written on the souls of all image bearers is a great call to return to home.
Amen.
So it's really a blessing that we can't escape.
Amen. You make a statement in the preface to your book that says we are all sexual sinners. What do you mean by that?
Right. Well, I think that we have come to a place in our society based on a false understanding of personhood.
Mm-hmm.
We've come to a place where we believe that people actually are conflated with their sexual challenge, whatever that mm-hmm. might be. And mm-hmm. so we'll use that phrase. We'll say, well, I have a gay neighbor, or, you know, this is my lesbian sister, or we need to worry about transgender bathrooms, or, you know, we actually use this, it just embedded in the language is this idea that we actually believe that people are their sexual difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, praise be to God, that really is not true.
Amen.
That just isn't true. And so, but one of the things that's happened is we tend to pit one set of sexual problems against another. So mm-hmm. instead of dealing with sexual sin in a holistic way, which for those of us who have been really vexed in sexual sin, it would be really helpful if we would do this. But instead mm-hmm. of doing this, we pit sexual sins against each other, and we say things like, well, you know, homosexuality is really, really bad, but pornography, not so bad, and, you know, and then there's abortion, and then there's, and instead of seeing that this whole problem comes from a failure to really live out Genesis 1:26-27, that it all of it, pornography, homosexuality, the belief that sexual autonomy is more important than life.
Yes.
All of it comes out of this rejection of the personhood that God himself has given to us, and that is that we are ontologically, mm-hmm. male or female,
mm-hmm.
we are image bearers of a holy God,
mm-hmm.
we have a soul that will last forever, and we have a body that will be glorified, and we will be reunited with it in the New Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen. So the body is not a prison. It's not the bad thing. It's not like we just need to get free from our bodies, is it?
That's right. And nor do we need to think that we are condemned to a particular sexual sin. We will struggle with all manner of difficulty this side of heaven. But struggle we must. We must struggle. We must fight that fight that Galatians talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And we must struggle in the Lord. And we must drive a fresh nail into our choice sin every day. But mm-hmm. It's sad. I mean, it's because we drive people into desperation.
Yes.
When we falsify what it means to be human, and I actually have speak with parents who say things like, I'm so sad that I'm so grieved that my child calls himself gay. I wish that he instead just got his girlfriend pregnant, or I wish that instead we were just dealing with pornography. And, anytime you modify any sexual sin with just, we're in big trouble.
Yes, because it's all damnable.
Yes, it
and
is.
All of us deserve hell.
That's right.
And our only hope, regardless of what our struggle is, our only hope is Jesus.
That's right.
He's
That's
the
right.
only one who saves. It's not a matter of reforming ourselves and cleaning up our acts sufficiently so that if God will grade on the curve, we can pass.
That's right. No, that's right. And there's no real act of moralism that's going to save us from ourselves, because that's just more works righteousness. But because homosexuality has a lobbying group behind it, and has had a lobbying group since the 19th century. This mm-hmm. is not a 1960s problem, but because of that, I think it puts parents in a really, just a vexed place, a differently vexed place. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not trying to say that all sexual sins are equal, but I'm trying to say that they all come from the same disorientation, which is a failure to live out what it means to be an image bearer of a holy God with a soul that will last forever and a body that will be someday glorified.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I appreciate so much your writing is not only wonderful prose, but your writing is richly biblical prose.
Oh, good.
It's marvelous. And again, I want our folks to get hold of the book Openness Unhindered by our guest Rosaria Butterfield. Dr. Butterfield is steeped in the scripture, and it comes through again and again. You hear the very words of God from the scriptures, page after page. And
good.
I love your description here. Nothing good comes of Satan. Nothing. Not even a question from Satan is innocent.
Right.
The invitation
right.
to challenge God's authority calls out the covetous beast in us all.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're so right. You deal with the reality of sin, the reality of temptation, the reality of life in this world, and I just appreciate very much the clarity with which you present what Scripture says, and because that slices through. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword.
That's right.
And it slices through the lies of the enemy, and Satan
That's right.
is
That's right.
a liar.
Yes, he is.
He's
yes,
a liar.
He is. And it's painful to see, especially with this category of sexual orientation, the way that it has morphed into mm-hmm. the place that it has now. And so it really does become a different problem for people. So when I said you know, all sexual sin is, you know, is a problem. That's true, but it is especially challenging right now to deal with a sexual sin that has now been declared a civil right.
Yes.
And for anyone, you know, to be listening in and to be thinking I'm minimizing that, please don't, because the gospel is on a collision course with this civil right, and I know that because this is the world I helped create.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm in this. I understand.
Yeah. Well, and Christians don't have to be threatened if we understand that God is still God.
Oh, and, exactly.
And
yes.
That these problems are not new. It's not even though the way in which this particular sin has gained such a stronghold in our culture is a new phenomenon, relatively speaking, historically speaking. It's not as if, you know, in the 1800s, people discovered homosexuality.
Exactly.
This is just an ancient thing. Sin isn't new.
Right.
No,
that's
sin
right.
is new. It's that's not right. a new thing. And the solution is what it's always been, and that is you need Jesus.
That's right. But I do think that we have a special opportunity in our generation right now because the world is listening.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it that the gospel is causing offense. And
yes.
So we are in a very new and I think important and just wonderful place to steward biblical ideas. And so, you know, what happened in the 19th century was that sexual orientation became an idol. Now, idols must be dealt with mm-hmm. in a biblical way mm-hmm. because idols are predatory. They, you know, there's never an example in the Old Testament where an idol just says, "Hey, you know, just take the cattle. Don't sacrifice your children. You know, I'm on a diet. I'm holding back." You know, idols don't do that. They're predatory. So we see when we make something an idol, and we've certainly made sexual autonomy an idol,
mm-hmm.
in all of its stripes, when we make that an idol, we need to, like Nehemiah, take responsibility in a comprehensive way. So this is our opportunity to do that, and I'm glad for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate that in addition to drawing from Scripture, which you do throughout your work, you also draw from some wonderful writers. You refer to John Calvin's works and to John Owen, and
yes.
you particularly cite John Owen confronts, you're writing here about repentance, and you're talking about indwelling sin, and you
yes.
say John Owen confronts this in his work, The Nature, Power, Deceit, and Prevalency of the Remainders of Indwelling Sin in Believers. This is
yes.
a book first published in 1635.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, I believe that this is the most important book for contemporary Christians to read.
Mm-hmm.
That is a wonderful, wonderful endorsement. Let me cite what you summarize as four things that John Owen recommends for dealing with indwelling sin. And folks, when we talk about indwelling sin, we're talking about that struggle that all of us as believers have
mm-hmm.
with things that aren't, they don't seem to be coming from outside. It's not the cultural influence. It's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we're hanging out with bad people and they're having a bad,
right?
This is a desire that rises up within us.
Right.
And needs to be dealt with. And so Owen recommends doing these four things, and I'm quoting here from Dr. Butterfield's book and her summary of him. Number one, starve it. That's right,
mm-hmm.
indwelling sin is a parasite, and it eats what you do. The word is poison to sin when embraced by a heart made new by the Holy Spirit. You starve indwelling sin by feeding yourself deeply on the Word of God. Sin cannot abide in the Word, so fill your hearts and minds with Scripture. Now, jumping ahead, second point from Owen, call sin what it is. Don't admit sin as a kind of benign visitor. Confess it as an evil offense and put it out. You can't domesticate sin by admitting it into your home. Don't make a false peace. Don't make excuses. Don't get sentimental about sin. Don't play the victim. Don't live by excuse righteousness. If you bring a baby tiger into your house, buy it a collar and leash and name it Fluffy. Don't be surprised if you wake up one day and Fluffy is eating you alive.
It's true.
I've met Fluffy. I know Fluffy.
Right.
You are exactly right. Third point from Owen. Extinguish indwelling sin. How? Mortify. Kill it. Sin is not only an enemy, says Owen. Sin is at enmity with God. Enemies can be reconciled, but there is no hope for reconciliation for anything that is at enmity with God. Anything at enmity with God must be mortified. Our battles with sin draw us closer to union with Christ, and in that way, much good comes from dealing with sin God's way. Mm-hmm. Again, I applaud your clarity in presenting this. Fourth, vivify righteousness and walk in the Spirit. Cultivate daily your new life in Christ. God does not leave us alone to fight the battle in shame. Instead, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the soul of each believer is vivified. To vivicate means to animate or to give life to. Vivification, redemption, complements mortification, and by so doing, it allows us to see the wide angle of sanctification. The promise of redemption allows us to visualize ourselves as redeemed men and women. By doing so, it gives shape and form to our identity in Christ, even on this side of eternity. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, folks, that's why I'm recommending this book to you. It is rich. It is strong. It is powerful because it is God's Word presented in such a clear way that you don't hear it and say, well, I feel inspired, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, you know, anything that I write about because I really failed miserably. And there is something about falling on your head as many times as I have. Gives you both deep humility and a desire to get it, you know, to get to the bottom of things. And that's what's so incisive about Scripture and about the Puritans.
Amen.
Is they just didn't coddle the idea that human invention and human intention are somehow sanctifiable just because, you know, they've been our kind company for so long.
Yes. Well, and one of the things that breaks my heart is people who call themselves evangelical in the world today who are just running as fast as they can away from biblical authority.
I agree.
You know, I mean, they don't understand. That would be like my saying, I really want to get in shape, so I've decided to avoid food and exercise.
Right, yeah. No.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
I agree. Well, Satan loves this. Satan loves the fact that we have any number of deceived people. They're either deceived or they're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Amen.
Who have co-opted Christianity, only removed Christ from it.
And the cross.
And so that is one thing that will happen when persecution comes. Persecution does have a way of clarifying these things. And I think that it will be at that knife's edge that some of these problems will be done away with.
Amen.
But we need to defend what the real gospel is.
Amen.
It is, and very sadly, I think many of us are just, you know, often very surprised to see, you know, who next has fallen away.
Yes.
But one of the things we need to go back to 500 years ago, the Reformation was committed to doing two things that are very necessary today: destroying idols and reclaiming the power and authority of the Word of God. And one thing that is just consistent for all of these evangelicals who have denied God's power to change His people and denied the blood of Christ, its authority to equip God's people to live in righteousness. One of the, you know, the two things that that's consistent in both of those is that they deny the authority of God's word, and they set up idols all over the place.
Yes, amen.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Well, folks, again, I want to recommend to you Rosaria Butterfield's newest book, Openness Unhindered. We've had her on the broadcast before, and I'm so thankful for her first book, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, An English Professor's Journey into Christian Faith. It is available in paperback. It's available on audio, Kindle. The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert tells beautifully and powerfully Dr. Butterfield's own personal journey coming out of being a very militant lesbian feminist and into the arms of her Savior. Mm-hmm. And she is now a wonderful, wonderful proclaimer of the truth while serving as a pastor's wife and homeschool mom. Mm-hmm. She's also an author and speaker, and we are very, very glad to send you to her website. It is rosariabutterfield.com. If you say, how do I spell that? R-O-S-A-R-I-A. Butterfield. Well, can you spell butter? And then field, that's Butterfield, all right? If you're not sure, go to our website, and you will find her name spelled out there. And we certainly urge you to go to her website as well. And again, her materials, her books, her recordings where she's spoken, you'll be blessed. You'll be encouraged. And a lot of folks say, you know, well, I don't know what to say to this person. Well, yes. why don't you read what God is speaking through this dear sister, and see if you might want to say, gee, this is a book that was really helpful to me. I think it'd be helpful to you. And some of you who are listening today are struggling yourself with things you don't want to admit. It may be in the area of same-sex attraction. It may be in some other area, some other thing you're struggling with. It all comes down to the same thing, and that is you need new life in Christ. He's the one who changes us. The Bible does not say that if you refuse to fulfill the desires and lusts of the flesh, then you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So focus not on your sin problem. Focus on your Savior. Focus on Jesus. And you will find in Him a more than sufficient one who is perfectly righteous, and He brings His life and His righteousness to you and says, I love you. Come, walk with me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, if you're struggling today, it's not that you don't need to mortify sin. You do. But that's not some huge burden. That is the path to freedom and joy and peace that passes understanding. If you will surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find in Him one who loves you perfectly and who will never let you go. Dr. Butterfield, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast with us today, and thank you for your continued faithfulness to our Lord.
Oh, thank you.
God bless you.
Lord bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.